So we're going to start the class now with a prayer on page 49. This is a prayer from Pratana, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Kalyan Kalpataru. It's called Pratana Danya Mai Uchvasa. It means it's a prayer of requesting the mercy of Yoga Maya. So today's class we will hear some stories and some of the philosophy surrounding the principle of Yoga Maya. And behind us we see the picture up high. This is Sanket Devi. Sanket, I'll show you on the map. Between Varshana and Nandagram, there's a small place called Sanket. And this is a very small village, it's not a very prominent place. And this deity is there. There are two temples there. One is the temple of Sanket Vihari, which is a Radha and Krishna deity. And the other temple is that of Sanket Devi, which is here. Sanket represents the deity of Purnamasi or Yoga Maya. And it's sometimes said that nearby or in this area, Purnamasi Yoga Maya has her eternal residence. And from here she makes arrangements to indicate. Sanket means something that indicates, an indicator, a sign. So she makes arrangements towards Varshana on one side and Nandagram on the other to indicate to Radha and Krishna where they should meet when their pastimes are to be performed. She makes some sign in the sky. There'll be lightning, but there'll be no clouds. There'll be some special indication that both parties will understand that this means we should go to this place or that place. So Sanket Devi is also Yoga Maya, as we're saying. So we're going to sing this prayer, read it in English, and understand something about who is Yoga Maya, because this is a very important principle in understanding the pastimes of Vraja or understanding the Supreme Lord Himself. Do we have a mridanga player? Somebody can play mridanga?
Agame vede mahima toma Shri Krishna आवे मुख के बंदे खारा ओ संसार नेचिया गावे वे हे माही मातोमा श्री कृष्ण आवे मुख के बंदे खारा ओ संसार श्री कृष्ण सा मुख्य जार भाग्य क्रम में होय तारे मुक्ति दिया कोरो अशोक भय कृष्णा सा मुख्य जार भाग्य क्रमे होय तारे मुक्ति दिया कोरो अशोक भय श्री कृष्णा सा मुख्य जार भाग्य क्रमे होय तारे मुक्ति दिया कोरो अशोक भय जार भाग्य क्रमे होय तारे मुक्ति दिया कोरो अशोक भय एडा से जनने कोरिया कैटा बदोय बिंदवाना देहो स्थान तुमी योग माया जनने कोरिया कैटा बदोय बिंदवाने देहो स्थान तुमी योग एडा से जना ने खोरी आखाई तब धोया बिंदवान ने देहा स्थान तुमी योग माया जना ने खोरी आखाई तब धोया बिंदवान ने देहा स्थान तुमी योग माया तोमा के लंगिया खोटा जीवे कृष्ण पाए कृष्ण रासा प्रकटीलो तोमार कृपाए तोमा के लंगिया खोटा जीवे कृष्ण पाए कृष्ण रासा प्रकटीलो तोमार कृपाए तोमा के लंगिया खोटा जीवे कृष्ण पाए कृष्ण रासा प्रकटीलो तोमार कृपाए तोमा के लंगिया खोटा जीवे कृष्ण पाए कृष्ण रासा प्रकटीलो तोमार कृपाए तुम्ही कृष्ण साहचारे जगता जनानी तुम्ही देखाइले मोरे कृष्ण चिंता मोनी सहचारी जगता जनानी तुम्ही देखाइले मोरे कृष्ण चिंतामणी तुम्ही कृष्ण सहचारी जगता जनानी तुम्ही देखाइले मोरे कृष्ण चिंतामणी सहचारी जगता जनानी तुम्ही देखाइले मोरे निष्कपाता होय माता छाओ मोर प्राणे वैष्णवे विश्वास वृद्धि हाके व्रत शाने होय माता छाओ मोर प्राणे वैष्णवे विश्वास वृद्धि हाके व्रत शाने निष्कपाता होय माता छाओ मोर प्राणे वैष्णवे विश्वास वृद्धि हक प्रत्यशाने होय मत छाओ मोर प्राणे वैष्णवे विश्वास वृद्धि हक प्रत्यशाने वैष्णव चरण बिना भाव पार बार भक्ति विनोद नारे होय बारे पार वैष्णव चरण बिना भाव पार भक्ति विनोद नारे होय बारे पार वैष्णव चरण बिना भाव पार भक्ति विनोद नारे होय बारे पार वैष्णव चरण बिना भाव पार भक्ति विनोद नारे अमर समाना ही ना नाही संसारे अस्तिराहा यच्चे पारे भाव पार बारे समाना ही ना नाही संसारे अस्तिराहा यच्चे पारे भाव पार बारे Jaya Yoga Maya, Jaya Yoga Maya, Yoga Maya, Jaya Yoga Maya, Jaya. Purnamasi Jai, Purnamasi Jai, Purnamasi Jai, Purnamasi. Jaya Sanket Devi, Jai Sanket Devi, Sanket Devi, Jai Sanket Devi. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Jaya 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 Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radhe, Jaya Shyam Sundar, Radhe Shyam Sundar, Radhe. Jayo Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe. Nitai Gaur Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaur Haribol, Nitai Gaur Haribol,
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. By Prabhupada's mercy only we can hear about these things, because you cannot even understand this transcendental subject matter without the special mercy of a spiritual master. Because this subject matter is not something to be experienced with the intelligence. We see there are so many things in this world that we can measure. We compare them with each other. This day was hotter than the same day last year. And this person is more intelligent than that person. And this is more valuable stone than that stone. And this is a more interesting place than that place. So how do we come to these assessments? And everybody will have a different opinion. I like this better than that. No, I like that better than this. These assessments will come through the use of our intelligence. Intelligence is used to collect information, to sort that information, to divide it into categories, to compare it with each other, and then to make some kind of a decision. But transcendental knowledge cannot be measured. It is apara. Para, it is para. Apara means it is mundane, it is limited. Para means that it is unlimited. So we cannot understand a transcendental subject matter just by use of our intelligence, our brain. It will be insufficient in the case. So it is simply by the mercy of the spiritual master that we can have some kind of a glimpse or a feeling or a perception of what is actually transcendental reality. Particularly at our stage, when we are very much under the influence of the Maya Shakti, the material energy. So Maya Shakti means that it is limited and it is temporary. And the Yogamaya, or the transcendent eternal Shakti, Chit Shakti, means that it is unlimited, it is eternal,
And it never ends. It never ends, and it is all true. And everything here is temporary and it is false. So this prayer to Yogamaya, the English translation goes like this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to approach the internal energy of the Lord. He says, "The likes of such a lowly soul as me is not to be found anywhere in this world. Thus I have become most agitated, astira. Stira means very firm in intelligence, and astira means very disturbed. I have become most agitated due to falling into this vast ocean of material existence. O Yogamaya, when will you show mercy to me by lifting up the curtain of illusion with which you shroud the universe in your external form as Mahamaya? You are known as Kuladevi, the traditional worshipable goddess of all the Vaishnava dynasties." So all the Vaishnavas worship the internal energy of the Lord. Automatically, we all pray for the mercy of the internal energy, because it is by the mercy of the internal energy that we can, yoga means to connect, we can connect with Krishna. "I have heard of your glories and activities from the Vedic literatures. You take all those souls who are averse to Krishna and bind them within the material world." This is Mahamaya. This is the same potency when it is acting externally. It binds us. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the external energy of the Lord, it covers and throws us. It covers us with ignorance and pushes us far away from our actual home, which is in Krishna's abode, with Krishna as the center. "To those persons whose good fortune actually dawns, you allow him to again become favorably disposed to Krishna." So this is the effect of Yogamaya. One becomes favorably disposed to Krishna. One can accept the principles of Krishna consciousness. One becomes attracted to hearing about Krishna. One wants to understand who he is. One wants to know more and more about the pastimes of Krishna. These are all manifestations of the mercy of Yogamaya. "You award liberation and you make him free from all grief and fear." So this is what everyone is searching for. Security. They're looking for some shelter. But this is the only shelter, to take shelter of the internal potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord. "Oh my dear mother, showing your causeless mercy to this servant, please give me a place in Vrindavan, for you are Yogamaya herself." This is the internal energy of yoga, or union. "Without complying with you, no soul at any time can get Krishna, for the manifestation of Krishna's pastimes is all enacted only by your mercy." So we will hear a little bit about this today. How Yogamaya, it is her, she is the one who is manifesting all of the Lord's pastimes. "You are the devoted follower of Krishna and you are the mother of the universe." That is Jagata Janani, the mother of the universe. "You have shown me the transcendental touchstone of Krishna consciousness. My dear mother," this is a very important prayer here, verse 8. "Nishkapat hoye mata chao mor pane Vaishnave vishvasa vriti hake prata shane." My dear mother, I sincerely wish that you will let my faith in the Vaishnavas increase at every moment. Without the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, Bhaktivinod is not able to cross to the other side of this ocean of material existence. So here is what he is recommending as the process. This is what he is praying to Yogamaya for. Please increase my faith in the Vaishnavas. Because without faith in the Vaishnavas, how can I cross over this vast ocean? Bhavanave paremor. How can I cross over this ocean of birth and death unless I'm firmly fixed in a faithful, loving relationship that is ever increasing in the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas? So this is our prayer today for Sanket Devi. So we can hear a little bit about the activities or the functions of Yoga Maya. So one function of Yoga Maya, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that when Krishna wants to engage in his pastimes in Raja with the residents of Vrindavan, it is Yoga Maya who creates the sentiments in the hearts of those devotees. It says in Adi Lila 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mo Vishaye Gopi Ganera Upapati Bhave Yoga Maya Karibeka Apana Prabhave. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. So previous to this, it's describing in this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the sentiments of all the residents of Vrindavan are all influenced or inspired by Yoga Maya. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me to be utterly helpless. So he is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He is Bhagavan means he's in unlimited in all six opulences. He is Swayam Bhagavan, the original form. But nobody in Braja thinks like that. Nobody thinks, oh yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we are forced to think. They don't think like that. Yasoda Devi thinks that he is quite helpless. And if she doesn't feed him, he'll get very, very thin. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me as his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Krishna becomes subordinate to that love. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear gopis of Braja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, and they say, what kind of a big man are you? You and I are equal. So this is the love in Sakya Ras, inspired by Yoga Maya. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. This is Yoga Maya, the affection that the gopis feel, that they can be angry with Krishna. They can call him names, and he gets more pleasure from hearing them calling him so many names. But if we go into the temple and stand before the deities and start calling the deities names, all sorts of shouting at them, nobody will appreciate it, and the Jogidar will come and take us out. Because we will be not acting out on the principle of pure love. But because they have given everything, they're absolutely fully surrendered, their everything is for Krishna. So therefore they have such intimacy, because they are no longer existing as themselves. They're existing only in relation to the love that they feel for Krishna. So therefore they have the right even to call him names. They call him, oh, you're a woman hunter, you're a debauchee, we can't talk to you. So many names they call him. So sometimes in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, new devotees, when they hear these stories, they feel a little shocked. Then why do they say these things? They can't understand. So therefore these pastimes are not generally spoken about in a public audience, because the people will not understand. This is God. They need to know that he's the supreme controller, he's the supreme most powerful person, you should follow him in every respect, or great fear should be in your mind. He will destroy you, he's the creator, he's the destroyer. And then, because they are apathetic to his service and apathetic to loving him, then they'll feel something. Oh, he's so great, so I should obey him. But the residents of Braja are so far beyond that stage, they don't need to hear anything like that. They only want to serve Krishna with great intimacy and affection. So then Krishna says, taking my pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. So how can it be that the Lord can manifest pastimes that amaze even himself? This is the potency of Yoga Maya. There are two words that are used to describe Krishna. Sometimes we hear in the writings of the Goswamis that Krishna, he is called Mugdata. That means that Krishna, in relation to these pastimes, when Mother Yasoda is chastising him, or he's dancing with the gopis, he forgets everything else. He forgets when he's with the gopis, he's dancing and speaking with them. He forgets his home. He forgets everything. What to speak of thinking of all the souls who are lost in the material world. He has no recollection of anything. He's simply immersed in the happiness of his pastimes under the influence of this Yogamaya potency. So then we can think, well, if that's the case, that's very nice for those who are there. But what about us? We're here and we need his mercy. How can we expect mercy from him if he's forgotten everything? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others explain to us that there is another feature of him. He is also called Sarvagya. This is a word means in English that he knows everything. He's aware of everything simultaneously. He simultaneously has forgotten everything under the influence of this pastime potency. And at the same time, he is aware of even the most insignificant thing in his kingdom. So we can see this omnipotency of the Lord when Lord Brahma came and he wanted to steal the cows and calves and he wanted to see Krishna do something wonderful. And he saw this small boy and he was thinking he's got one laddu in his hand. And he's just standing there, surrounded by all these calves and boys, and they're just playing and laughing like ordinary village children. Not even a rich man's son, not even a prince, the son of a king, but a small village boy with his dhoti sort of tucked up so he can wrestle, and his flute tucked in the side, and in his hair he has all sorts of dust from the hooves of the cows. And he's just standing there with his laddu, quite playfully, with these other young boys. This can't be the Supreme Lord. How can he execute all these amazing pastimes, maintaining all the universes, and be just there, forgetting everything? So then Lord Brahma, sometimes if you want to know something about somebody, you go and you do something to find out, get some response to find out more. So Lord Brahma decided by stealing the cows and calves that he wanted to see what this small boy was capable of. So he took the cows and calves and hid them. But meanwhile, he came back, as we know, he returned after just one moment of his time. And he saw that the whole scene was exactly as it had been. He saw that all the cows and calves were exactly as they were 1 second before. And then with two of his heads, he looked at that. With other heads, he looked at the back, and he saw over here that all the boys and cows and calves were sleeping. Just as he had put them. He put them there, they were there. He had started, they were there, they're there, they're there, they're in both places. So he became completely confused by this Yogamaya potency. And in his confusion, then he realized that something, I don't understand what is taking place. So to convince him of his all omnipotency, the Lord manifests all of these items, the cows, the boys, every single thing appeared as a Vishnu form, a four-armed Vishnu form. And Lord Brahma was looking and before him he saw this whole display of opulence that he just could not even conceive of. And he was so astonished. And then he realized what he had done, who he was teasing, who he was playing with. And he came very swiftly down, came to his senses and came and he bowed down and was offering these wonderful prayers. There are pages and pages and pages of his prayers in the Krishna book. But while he offered all the prayers, Krishna just stood there with his laddu in his hand. And he was thinking, wish he'd hurry up. I want to go and play. And he's, offering all these exalted things. He's saying, you're this, you're that, and bowing down and touching. And so Krishna just stood there silently. And he said all these prayers, and in those prayers he even admitted that so many people may say they understand something about you, but I cannot understand anything about you. You are beyond my understanding. And Krishna just stood there with his ladu, and finally Lord Brahma got up, having exhausted himself of all of his words of knowledge and praise, and Krishna, with some indication, indicated that he could leave now. So then he left, feeling, as we noted with the story of Haridas Thakur, feeling that actually he didn't really forgive me. But still, he left. And then what did Krishna do? With his ladu in hand, he went off to play with the boys and the cows. And they're laughing and joking and climbing the Bandirvat, the tree at Bandirvan, and eating and sitting in a circle and all kinds of playful activities. Meanwhile, all of this manifestation of opulence had been seen by Lord Brahma. But under the influence of Yoga Maya, none of those cowherd boys saw that. And none of them thought, oh, he's Bhagavan Sri Krishna. No, they never thought like that. They just thought, look, you know, he's so weak, I can defeat him. Let's wrestle. And they'd tuck up their dhotis and they'd start to fight. And they would defeat Krishna, and Krishna would have to carry them on his shoulders. So this is the two principles of Krishna's pastimes and the Lord himself. So it also explains in the Bhagavatam that Yoga Maya is the foundation of all incarnations of the Lord. All the incarnations come as a result of his internal potency. And where does that Yoga Maya come from? According to Shastra, Yoga Maya is a manifestation of Srimati Radharani herself. In Bhagavad Gita we find Sambhavya Atma Mayaya. I incarnate by my internal energy. What is the meaning of Atma Maya? Atma Maya is another name used to describe Yoga Maya. This Shakti of Krishna, where does it come from and what is it? What is its root? The answer given in Shastra is that Srimati Radharani is the origin of this Yoga Maya potency. By the medium of this potency, Sri Krishna's enjoyment takes place. So Yoga Maya is Nitya, eternal, Satya, true, and Anadi, unending, beginningless, and Ananta, unlimited. So she took her birth along with Krishna. So how did she become Anadi? Prior to her own birth, she arranged for Baladev Prabhu to appear as the seventh child in the womb of Devaki. And then she took her birth in the womb of Yasoda later. So because she performed some activity before taking birth, she is Nitya, or she is known as Sanatani. So this is referring to the birth of the girl child. As we know, Mother Yasoda, when Krishna appeared in the prison house in Mathura to Devaki and Vasudev, and they were offering so many prayers, and then they became afraid because he appeared in a four-arm form, and they said, if Kamsa sees you like this, he will certainly want to kill you. So please be protected. So then the Lord changed from the four-arm form that he had appeared as into a baby, and told Vasudev prior in the four-arm form, now you take me across the Jamuna River to Gokul, and there you will see that the wife of Nanda Maharaj, the king of all the cowherd men, has given birth to one small girl. You place me there and take that girl and bring her back and place her in the hands of Devaki, so that when Kamsa comes in the morning to see this child, he will see it is not a son, but it is a daughter. So according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that actually Krishna is not born in Mathura. He's born also as the son of Yasoda in Vrindavan. And that when Vasudev comes holding the baby, which is called Vasudev Krishna, not Krishna, the original Krishna form, he places the baby down. Mother Yasoda gave birth to twins. And that baby, Vasudev Krishna, enters within the form of Krishna himself, because all incarnations are within the original form of Krishna. And he picks up the girl, and Vasudev is not aware of what is taking place, but he takes the girl and he returns to the prison house with this small baby daughter that he gives to Devaki. And as soon as Kamsa comes and he sees that actually this is not a boy, as the voice in the sky predicted, but it's a girl. Yes, Devaki starts offering so many prayers and crying to her brother, saying, please don't kill this girl. The voice said it would be the eighth child would be a male child. So save the life of this child. Please, please. And she cries and she expresses so many beautiful pleas to Kamsa. But he's so hard-hearted and cruel that he picks up the child and he throws the child down on the ground, and the child appears up in the sky, a 16-armed form of Mahamaya, Durga Devi. And the child was originally Yogamaya, that appeared in the womb, from the womb or from the mind, pure transcendental mind of Yasoda. That child now becomes externalized as Mahamaya. So this Mahamaya, Yogamaya, they're the same personality, as we're reading in the prayer that we heard. If somebody wants to enjoy the material world, then this energy of the Lord will appear as Mahamaya and will give so many things so you can enjoy the material world. And if somebody has a desire to understand his relationship with Krishna, then in the form of Yogamaya, this same potency will lead us closer and closer and closer to our eternal relationship of service to Krishna. So it is also said that Yogamaya increases the pleasure of Krishna's pastimes. She also regulates all the pastimes of Krishna. There is one story to explain this particular principle that we sometimes tell when we go to Barshana. There is one lake or kund called Pili Pokur, and it is a rather large body of water. And we read from the Shastra that in the time of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, the water of that pukur or that kund was yellowish. And there was a reason why it had become yellow as opposed to the normal color. And that was that one day, Yasoda Devi, who always was thinking that it would be very nice if Krishna, her son, who was her constant meditation, could marry Radharani, because Radharani was so beautiful and qualified in every way. And she knew also that from his childhood, Krishna had been hinting that when I grow up, it would be very nice if I could marry that girl from Barshana. She would make a very nice wife for me. So Yasoda Devi, one time compulsively, she took turmeric, which is a custom in India, that when a marriage has been arranged, you put turmeric on the hands, on the palm of the hands of the young girl. So without being able to control herself, she put yellow turmeric. She caught Radharani and placed turmeric all over her hands. And when Radharani became very shy, when she saw the turmeric, her hands were yellow. So she went to that pukur and washed her hands there. And this made the water of that place yellow. And somebody saw her do it. So they immediately went to Kirtida Devi, the mother of Radharani, and told her, you know that Mother Yasoda, she painted Radharani's hands yellow with turmeric today? So Kirtida became so happy. She thought, this is just what I've always wanted. I've always wanted that my daughter would marry Krishna. And now Yasoda is indicating that it is her heart's desire. So certainly this should come to pass. So then Kirtida and Vrishabhanu Maharaj, they collected a cartload of so many precious jewels, which was the next part of the customary procedure. And they sent that cartload from Barshana to Nandagram. And when the cart arrived in Nandagram, and Yasoda and Nanda saw these costly jewels that they could not possibly imagine having such valuable items themselves, they were very, very happy, because they thought this is confirming this, that now actually this will take place. But they also were a little worried. They didn't have anything of an equal value to reciprocate with. So Krishna took those jewels whilst talking with Nanda and hearing that Nanda was saying, oh, I don't know how I can reciprocate, he said, I know what can be done. I'll plant them and they'll grow jewel trees. And then they'll have so many jewels on as the fruits, and then you can harvest them, and then you'll have so many jewels to offer. So Nanda said, but this is not how things happen. But Krishna said, don't worry, I will try this. So he took these jewels and he took them to a field near Nandagram, and he planted them all in the field. And almost immediately, trees grew up, covered in beautiful, precious jewels. So then he returned with a big basket full of so many jewels and more jewels. So they were overjoyed. And it looked like now all their desires were going to be fulfilled. So they packed all the jewels up on a cart, sent them back to Varshana, and Kirtida Sundari and Bishop Banu Maharaj were also so happy. And everyone in Braj knew about this, that now Radha and Krishna were going to be married. And everyone was happy. All of the residents, they all cherished in their hearts that this should take place. So then the only thing left was to arrange for the auspicious date. So in order to do that, Yasoda Devi knew that she had to go and ask one person, very important person. Who was that? Purnamasi. And why did she have to ask Purnamasi? Because Purnamasi is the Shiksha Guru of everyone in Braj. And nobody doesn't follow whatever Purnamasi tells. If anyone goes against Purnamasi, then they know they're in very serious trouble. So all the Brajavasis immediately do whatever Purnamasi says. So Purnamasi, it says that she wears saffron, she's elderly, she's the grandmother of Madhu Mangal. She comes from Ujjain, and her son is Sandipani Muni, who we know in the Krishna book, that Krishna went to the school of Sandipani Muni after he left Vrindavan. And Purnamasi is a disciple of who? Does anyone know? Narada Muni. So she's so knowledgeable, and she's the personification of Krishna's pastime Yogamaya potency. So how much respected she is by everyone in Braj. So Yasoda and Nanda, they consulted with her and asked her what would be the auspicious day and the auspicious time for this marriage to take place. So Purnamasi said, let me see, I will check, and then I will let you know. And then she thought to herself and said, but actually, this cannot take place. How can Radha and Krishna become married? If they become married, it will be just like in Dwarka. There will be no Parakiya Ras. There will be no feeling that Krishna is my lover. It will be called Swakiya, that they will just be husband and wife, living very peacefully. And the particular taste, which we read, Jai Radhe Jai Krishna, Parakiya Rasa Brajate Prakar. In Braj, this Parakiya Ras is manifest. And this is the topmost pleasure of Krishna. So this Parakiya Ras will not be manifest if they get married. So Purnamasi went to Yasoda Devi and said, actually, I looked at their charts and I see that this is not a good time for marriage. If they marry now, there's some possibility that the marriage will be unsuccessful. It's not fully auspicious. So we should wait some time, and when the time is more auspicious, I will tell you. So then Yasoda Devi was obliged to listen. Then what did Purnamasi do? She went to Jyotila, and she told Jyotila, your son Abhimanyu would make a perfect husband for Srimati Radharani. You should arrange the marriage immediately. So Jyotila was overjoyed. She thought, this is wonderful. This is what I always wanted, that my son should have such a high class wife. She will be perfect for our family. Because of her, we'll have so many sons, and the number of cows we have will multiply and will become opulent and rich and successful in life. So this is very wonderful news. So Jyotila immediately, without any intrusion by Purnamasi, without any interruption, she went ahead and arranged for the marriage of Srimati Radharani with Abhimanyu. So there are secrets, of course, behind all of these pastimes which Yogamaya is enacting. And Srila Rupa Goswami even describes in his book Vaidagdha Madhav, in a play, that Krishna was with his cowherd friends And Purnamasi came there with some sweets. And she said, "These sweets are for you." So he said, "Oh," and he was very pleased to receive them. And then he asked, "Where do these sweets come from?" And then Purnamasi said, "These sweets have been given by Jyotila on the marriage of her son Abhimanyu to Srimati Radharani." We can just imagine how he felt. But he took the sweets in his hand, my goodness. And this was what he was thinking. So these extraordinary pastimes, how can we, if we are all knowing, we know everything, we have all opulences unlimitedly, eternally, how can there be such beautiful pastimes? How can somebody cry if they know everything? There's no reason to cry because everything will be all right. You're unlimited, unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly intelligent. There can't be any problem. But Purnamasi Yogamaya, she arranges these different impediments to increase the love and the pastime pleasure of Krishna. So again, there is one follow-up story to that in relationship to Purnamasi where we can see how she works. And that is that, actually the end of that story was that Yasoda and Nanda were sitting together somewhere secretly in the palace at Nanda Bhavan. And Yasoda was saying to Nanda, "When I see the way my son looks at that girl, when she comes here every day to cook for him, and I see the way he can't take his eyes off her, and he's always looking at her wherever she goes, I feel so unhappy." And Nanda Maharaj has his head down, and he's also feeling so much despondent, and he says, "When I think of how my son is already so, he's grown up and he's still a bachelor, and all of his friends, they're all married and they have children already, but he has no wife, none of the happinesses of family life are there for him. And then when I look at the way that girl looks at him, then I think my life is, I've made such a great mistake." So the fact is that Yasoda and Nanda are both feeling that we made a terrible mistake. And what is that mistake? They're saying confidentially, secretly to each other so no one else can know or hear. They're saying, "Why did we listen to Purnamasi? Why did we do what she said? Because of that, look what's happened. His whole life is spoiled." And then when Krishna, when it becomes time for him to leave Braja and go to Mathura, again they're weeping and saying, "If we had got him married, he would have been able to stay. He would not have left." So these deep emotions of love, these are all the gift of Purnamasi. So then Yasoda says to Nanda, "It may not be correct, but there's nothing that I can do about it. But whenever I see that girl, somehow or other, I cannot control myself from thinking that she's my daughter-in-law. So no matter in any situation, I cannot help but to treat her like that and love her as if she's actually my daughter-in-law. So you please forgive me if I'm making any misconduct, but this is the feeling within my heart." So with this mood, Yasoda Devi, prior to this conversation, went to Javat and she asked Jyotila, because she's always worrying that Krishna will become weak or thin, or that he worries too much, or that from playing with the other boys he'll become somehow or other disturbed in some way. They'll scratch him or they'll push him or something. She's always thinking of his welfare in this way. So she's thinking also that Srimati Radharani has been given a benediction that anybody who tastes her cooking, they will become free of all bodily distress and they will become very strong and no anxiety will come to them. So she wants that Jyotila would allow Srimati Radharani to come. So she goes to request Jyotila that it would be very nice if you could send your daughter-in-law to Nandagram every day to cook for Krishna. But naturally, Jyotila is not at all enthusiastic about this. And it also goes contrary to all conventional principles to send your young, newly married daughter-in-law to another man's house to cook his breakfast. So Dotila doesn't like this idea at all. So she's not manifesting any enthusiasm for this. So Yasoda, in order to encourage Jyotila in the most appropriate way, she brings with her a large box full of so many beautiful jewels and jewelry and cloth, valuable saris and so forth. So she asks Jyotila, please bring your daughter-in-law here. So Radharani appears very shyly, and Yasoda starts to give her rings, bangles, so many necklaces, all sorts of priceless items of jewelry. When Jyotila sees this, she thinks that maybe she can consider this. And her mouth waters a little bit when she sees all of this wonderful array of gold and jewels. So she says, well, we'll think about this. So then when Yasoda returns to Nandagram, Purnamasi comes and asks her, did she give her consent? And Yasoda Devi says, I think not. I think she was not willing that Srimati Radharani could come. So then Purnamasi says, don't worry. So she goes there. And when she goes there, Jyotila has to comply. So she tells Jyotila, you know, there's one thing that if you do it, your whole everything will be ruined. All your cows will die, you'll never have any grandsons, your whole family will be ruined, everything will be destroyed if there's this one thing you do. So Jyotila is very afraid, and she says, what is that? She says, if you ever disrespect the order of the Queen of Braj, if you disobey her order, everything will go wrong in your life. So then Jyotila becomes very serious and thinks, So then Purnamasi, in this way, indirectly, she interferes in this arrangement so that Jyotila finds herself bound to send her young daughter to Nandagram every day. So these are just a few different stories that indicate the different ways that Yogamaya or Purnamasi involves herself in the manifestation of the Lord's pastimes. So we can talk a little further about the difference between Mahamaya and Yogamaya, because we're accustomed to Mahamaya. We know this Maya. And we have not so much direct perception of what is the influence of Yogamaya. So it is said that this Mahamaya is like a shadow. We can see that a shadow is a very interesting phenomenon, because it has some relationship to the real thing. If you move your hand like this, the shadow will also move. If you jump up and down, the shadow will also move, jumping up and down with you. But the shadow cannot perform the functions that the real thing can perform. The shadow hand cannot do anything like what the actual hand can do. Yet there is a very natural and real connection between the shadow and the actual real thing. So this Mahamaya is characterized as being like the shadow. And this means that, just like, for example, if you see a snake and you think that that snake is just a piece of rope, and you go and you step on it, and the snake will immediately rise up and bite you. Or if you think that a piece of rope, when you're walking in the dark and it wraps itself around your foot accidentally, when you step on it, that, it's something alive, and you jump up. But it is not. One is different than the other. So similarly, this Mahamaya is characterized by two things, that it is false and it is temporary. The example given by the Acharyas is that the things of this world are not unreal. We don't say that this mat, this chair, this table, this everything is unreal, but we say it is temporary. And what is false? The value and the conceptions that we make, they are false. So when I think I am this body, I am the owner of this thing, I am the mother of this person, I am the doer of this activity, All of these conceptions, we understand that they are false. They are not actually correct. But the items of this world, they are not false. They are simply temporary. Whereas the experiences and perceptions of one in transcendental consciousness, or one engaged in the pastimes of Krishna, their sentiments are not false like that. Because what is the actual reality of sentiments? Srila Prabhupada explains it very simply. He says, this idea of I and mine, I am the enjoyer and everything is mine, is false. But the reality is that I belong to Krishna, and Krishna is mine. This is the conception that is given by the mercy of this Yogamaya potency. And Yogamaya also gives us the strength to proceed on the path to understanding via realization of who is Krishna. And what does it mean that he is ours? What does it mean that we have an eternal, natural relationship with him? So I would like to stop here and see if there's anyone has any questions or anything they could add to this subject. It would be very much appreciated. Yes.
All the time it says that the devotees of Raja never thinks that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. But actually, when I read Krishna book, a lot of time you see that they come to him and say, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, you are our only shelter, like at Govardhan Hill, when there was rain. There's other, you know, like when the coward boys a lot of time, when demon comes. So they do a lot of time approach him as the supreme personality of Godhead. So how this is.
That's an interesting question. Gata, can you answer?
We'll have to see which way Prabhupada translated. You know, sometimes Prabhupada translates things in a particular way for us to understand it in a particular way. If you go to the Sanskrit, you may say just achuta or something like that, which may have a double, triple meaning. And for us, in a certain stage, you know, when we're starting to understand Krishna and everything related to him, it may mean all you who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for the inhabitants of Vrindavan, it may mean something else. You who are the life and soul of us, who are the protector of all of us. In so many ways you protect us, because they don't conceive of him in any way as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That would be completely destroying the mood of the pastimes of Krishna. So sometimes Prabhupada translates like that for our understanding, and sometimes not. You know, in some occasions, in some pastimes, depends on what the pastime is, they say it like that, but it's normally in a particular mood for a particular purpose, and they are not really believing what they're saying. They just don't really conceive of it. So you will have to analyze in which pastime he says what, and they approach him in which way. For that, you have to check the power to it. Prabhupada sometimes does these things with a purpose in mind. And for all our own understanding, when he translated the Krishna book, when he did the Krishna book, we have no idea whatsoever what Krishna is or was or what's God or what's anything, nothing. So he couldn't express to us immediately what the meaning of all these things were. We have to think of him and approach him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, otherwise we'll be confused. So in some instances, Prabhupada is adding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in some instances, it means something else. So you will have to check in what past tense they say that. And sometimes they say that, but like the gopis said in the songs of the gopis, they say Krishna reproaching him because he left the arena of the Rasa dance. He left to disappear. So they are reproaching him, why did you do this? And then and before that they were crying to him, why are you not appearing? You are the indweller, the Paramatma, indweller in every living entity. But that has a triple, four meaning, five meanings, And they are actually not saying to him, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but something other than that. So it depends on which past tense the commentator or the translator has presented for our understanding different things, but actually they're not saying to him that he's Paramatma, they're saying something else. So you have to check in which instance what happens.
Also, it's the other thing is that there are three main commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srijiva Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So when Srila Prabhupada was choosing to make his Bhaktivedanta purports, he said, I remember hearing at the time when he was still present with us, that he said every word, I think so carefully on every word. There wasn't one word that he just easily put into place. Everything was there for his own personal reasons. But he had the commentaries of these three commentators. So after Srila Prabhupada had not completed the 10th canto, and those who were making the completion of the 10th canto on his behalf, they very much had referred, you'll see in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, that was completed after Srila Prabhupada. And many times it will say, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sanatana Goswami says, Jiva Goswami says, and it will just be given. Because we may not have the insights that Srila Prabhupada had to choose exactly the point of the word he wanted for the reason he wanted it. So all we can do is repeat. This is what the other commentators have said. And each one has their own point of view and realization. There's somewhere I was reading in the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada was explaining that you cannot understand the Bhagavatam directly. You can only understand it through the pure devotee. So he chooses how he wants to explain things. If you look many times in Prabhupada's Bhagavatam word-for-word translations, he takes such liberties that it's completely amazing in the stories of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj's Shiksha. There'll be some words, say like a chuta or something like that, and Prabhupada will have in the word for word Krishna Balaram, particularly Balaram, in brackets. He puts anything that he wants. And sometimes, actually, I remember when I was first in Vrindavan, I met one man. He was a Hindi professor from Antwerp University in Holland. And he came here, and he seemed to be quite a pious man. He was a Dutchman. And he had respect for Srila Prabhupada. But at a certain point, and his books, at a certain point, because he was actually a worshipper of Lord Shiva, he started to raise doubts about the Bhagavatam and explain how the Shiva Purana says that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he didn't actually have faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was impossible to actually convince him that the Bhagavatam was superior to the Shiva Purana. So as he was going along, talking like this, he at one time said to me that actually, anyway, look at the word-for-word commentaries, he pointed it out, of the Bhaktivedanta purports. So many times, that's not the word. He puts this word, that word, and so forth. And as it works, just to hear something offensive from the lips of somebody who doesn't understand the mood and mind of an Uttam Bhakta, just to hear it, even if you don't refute it, creates some anatta in your heart. So I noticed just because I didn't refute him, I couldn't refute his argument, it created just a scent of a doubt that actually this is true. And I started noticing, yes, Prabhupada says this and Prabhupada says that. And I began to think, well, you know, how can anyone really trust what Srila Prabhupada says? Because it may be just our opinion. He says this, they say this, and you can't be considered in every case authoritative. So some little doubt arose in my mind as a result of his arguments. And then it was some short time after that, by Prabhupada's mercy, that I came across, I don't have the quote with me, but he was explaining like this, that the commentators, these Uttam Bhakta, liberated souls, they can say whatever they choose to say, because they're seeing these pastimes. They're seeing everything. They're not like us, who are trying to grope for the right word. It means that, oh, look up in the thesaurus, this is a better word than that. You know, a slightly different meaning. It's not like that. But they're choosing to give a particular, according to their revelation, they're choosing to reveal the shastras. They're revealed scriptures in a particular way. So Srila Prabhupada was like that. But we have to just simply read, repeat properly. This is what he said for us would be constituting us to be pure devotees, if we could repeat the realizations that are given by these realized souls. So Srila Prabhupada can do anything. But if you want to understand, sometimes we're saying the inner meanings, you can consult the other, these acharyas in their commentaries, which they sometimes refer to, and they will say something like, when Krishna said, when the gopis said this, what they really meant was, just as Madhukata was saying, they'll give some insight into why the gopis said like that. And it's always in the same mood. It's very charming. They're always... They're not inconsistent in this. Any other points? Yes.
Actually, Chinmayi and I were talking this morning. When Krishna's going to, he's going to leave Vrindavan, and says he's less late from goes to Mathura, but he actually stays, he never leaves Vrindavan. So we were wondering, is he the feeling of separation that the gopis feel?
Kata? Here we go. No, no. We're giving you your chance. You first. Is he the feeling of separation?
Is he the feeling?
Is that accurate, what you wanted to say? Does he reside in that feeling of separation? Where does he reside? Your turn. When Krishna goes to Mathura, where does he reside in Vrindavan?
Well, Prabhupada in the Krishna book, he explained that he never leaves Vrindavan. And there's a famous shloka that says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So when he actually so-called leaves Vrindavan, he stays, according to Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book, he says he remains in the form of Bhava. This form of love, and part of the sentiment that the devotees in Vrindavan have for him. So he stays there in a non-manifested form, not visible to them, but actually they are experiencing him in different ways, in their loving separation from him. And they feel the union with him in separation, which is a very high thing to start explaining something at this point. But he stays there in that form. Prabhupada uses that form. He stays in the form of love.
So, yes, he stays there in that form.
Then, at one point, why the parents didn't feel that love?
How do we know they didn't feel that love?
Because they ate so much, they had all sorts of sufferings, and the cowherd friends. That they have never been separated. Why this difference?
Why did they feel like that? It says that the Nitya Siddha devotees, they go in and out of two states of consciousness, the Prakat Lila and Aprakat Lila. That means sometimes they feel that yes, Krishna is with us. And sometimes, just as the movement of a snake, it goes like this, like this, like this, like this. They go in and out of these two states of consciousness. And within that separation, they're feeling that Krishna is actually present in that separation.
You feel that Krishna is here.
Yes, yes. You remember we were talking about the Kurukshetra when the residents of Kurukshetra and Krishna was saying, I come, or Sachi Devi, Nimai, he comes every day to take the prasad, but she's crying and crying, but deep in her heart, it says in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, she knows that he comes every day, and he told Shivananda Sen, I take darshan every day of my mother. So deep in her heart, she knows it, but she does not want to believe it. She knows it, she's satisfied deep in her heart, but externally, she's crying. This is a very inconceivable thing. They're transcendental emotions, so they're not like our lack of appreciation.
Actually, Krishna in Vrindavan during the day is sleeping, because when he did the dance Raja, he said to make the dance Raja longer, one night of Brahma. Then every night he's going to dance, in the day he's sleeping.
The day he's sleeping. This is an interesting philosophy. What about the cowherd boys? What will they do during the day if he's sleeping? They'll all have to wait. When will they get their time? Very interesting philosophy. I don't think that he's bound by sleep in the way we are. We don't get our 8 hours.
They pass near the Seva Kunja and say, oh, still he's doing your dhansanas, means in the day you go to sleep.
This is probably a material conception.
You see the example of the serpent, carving, sometimes, sometimes. How is it that the cowherd friends never felt the separation at all?
Never felt separation?
That's what we are told.
When he left?
Even after he left.
It says in, there's one book by Raghava Goswami called Krishna Bhakti Ratna Prakash. And in that book there's a verse. And that verse says that those Nitya Siddha devotees, is referring to the gopis, when Krishna left, they never felt he had left for a moment. They never perceived him having left. But still, we see there is something, because also we hear the same gopis weeping and crying. Srimati Radhika at Uddhav Kyari crying and crying. Sridham over here at Sham Van sitting, waiting. When is Krishna coming back? Lota Baba, Govardhan.
Then they're feeling the separation.
It's a little inconceivable that simultaneously two different contradictory statements are given. So this is the nature of yoga maya. It is inconceivable to those who are under the influence of Mahamaya. So we just have to accept it somehow or other. We won't be able to measure it, as we were saying in the beginning of the class. This measuring tendency of the intelligence cannot be applied here. But we can understand there are two inconceivable, mugdhata, savagya, they're inconceivably opposite. But they are all harmonized in the pastimes and personality of the Supreme Lord. And we can understand a tiny bit only by the mercy of yoga maya. So we can pray to her to please help us to understand these mysteries.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. Achintya, abheda, veda, tattva. Achintya, it is inconceivable. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Prabhav. Prabhav means? Prabhav. I think so. I can look that up for you at another time. She doesn't do it willingly. She certainly doesn't like the idea. She probably doesn't know about it. Dhanishta brings them.
Dhanishta brought the remnants and gave them to Jatila, and she gave
them to Radharani, and Radharani set up her eating altar and didn't say how to do it. Yeah, we can just only imagine. I'm very happy. This is the absolute nature of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. The Jyotila and all these apparent obstacles, they're manifestations of yoga maya to enhance the pastimes. It's not that they're independently influential or dominant or conflicting or competing. They're only there to increase the pleasure of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So we can understand properly in that way. All right, we're a little late. Sankhya Devi ki jai, Yoga Maya ki jai, Purnamasi Devi ki jai, Sri Braj Mandala Dham ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.